Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best, Best in Show.
Welcome!
Mother of Christ.
Yes.
It's time for the radio program. My favorite radio program here on TPX Radio, that is, bestinshowradio.com. Wait, no, the name of the show isn't .com. We just have a website that goes .com in it, right? Doo-doo-doo. Doo-doo-doo. Ba-doo-doo-doo-doo. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, exclusively on tpxradio.com. A magical Sunday morning here in January 28th, I believe? January 28th. I'm going to start doing that time, date stamp and things. Just so you guys know, you can get us if you want to. Join the show, join the fun, be part of the magic by Instant Messenger. You can get Best in Show Keith or Best in Show Chris. No matter what, I'm always going to fumble over that because I don't want to do the respectively line anymore. And so I'm going through that whole thing. Let's see. That's how you can get us there. What else could you do? You can call us on the hotline, 877-744-6405. When I answer the hotline, it sounds like this. No, it doesn't. It sounds like that. Perfect. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out everything today. We've got a little bit of a new setup. And you can also get us in the chat room. Let me explain that. The new chat room you can get over at www.bestinshowradio.com. Click on contact, click on chat room. It'll take you to our new chat room that is a temporary fix. This week, TPX Radio is experimenting with a couple of different websites for how they're going to do chat. And they have something now up called Stick Cam or something like that, and it's kind of really annoying the way that's, you know, not to be critical, but I kind of really hate the whole Stick Cam gimmick that they got, that they're running over there now, and I just gotta be honest, I can't be affiliated with it. You gotta like register and start joining into a million different things. I don't want to be a part of it.
I seem to just be right in there.
You're in Stick Cam right now?
Well, it's like kind of whited out, but like if you want to glance over to the laptop here.
Yeah, exactly. Try talking now. Try talking in the chat room.
Hello, hello. Oh. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can't talk into it unless you go to another site to register, but there's no explanation that you have to register. It's a big pain in the neck, so that's why I'm not even bothering with it. A pain in the neck. What a pain in the neck. But so that's why it's a shame.
Thanks for the warning.
Yeah, you know, I got to be honest. I really, really, really dug the old original webcam thing that got hacked like a month or so ago. That's the one I want to go back to. The one that our old radio station stole the template for. What? That's what I want to do. So what I did is I just threw something up this morning, because I only discovered this morning. So I threw up this little website with a webcam, and it's basically you can get something from us. It's not the live stream. It's not as fancy as the other one is. I have it set to self-refresh, which I'm not a big fan of. That's actually why my sound is all screwed up, because it keeps making, you know, leave it on.
What here. If you just do it steady? It's worse.
If you do it steady, then the picture just doesn't update, which is fine. I should actually have done that. But to do that now during the show will probably be a little difficult.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we just say we hit.
No, no, no. I meant steady. I thought it was steady where it would just like.
Show a live video stream.
Yeah, kind of like the other one does.
No, no, it doesn't. It doesn't work that way. So the, it's because it's because
We're not on TV.
Well, one, because we're not on TV, and two, because we don't pay like $300 for a streaming video server, which we don't have. So we get one picture every like 10 or 15 seconds, something like that, and the site refreshes. So things are a little confused, but it's a learning process. We got our buddy Veal Chop in the chat room.
Oh, really? See, I can't see who's in here.
You're not in the chat room, and you're not seeing Veal Chop in there.
No, not at all. I'm seeing the conversation me and you had this morning when we tested it.
Something's not right there. Something's not right there at all, because I'm in there with Veal Chop right now.
I'm not Veal Chop, am I?
I don't think so. Veal Chop and his name, his quote is total jerk.
I don't know.
So you really can't get in there? Try leaving and coming back in again. See if that helps.
Okay. I don't want to dwell on it too much, but you're kind of a jerk.
Hey, wait a minute. That's hurting my feelings. Yeah, that's making me it's making me uncomfortable that that the chat room's not working. We may just start, like, maybe I'm going to eliminate this and start an AOL chat. Yeah, start an AOL chat.
Oh, right now, you mean?
Yeah, do that at the same time, because that probably makes a lot more sense if these things aren't working. Who knows? I hate talking tech stuff like this, and especially not for something as stupid as a chat room with cameras in it. You know what? We could find a way to chat. Otherwise, we could use AOL or something like that, and everything will be fine. But that's it. So this is Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, exclusively on tpxradio.com. Get us on the hotline, 877-744-6405, or get us on Instant Messenger at Best in Show Keith or Best in Show Chris. This week, you're not going to be able to get via Instant Messenger Best in Show Brian, because he... doesn't have AIM, first of all, but secondly, because he has no-showed this week. Magic.
I'm just going to start the chat, because I came out and I went back in and I still had the same conversation.
Something that I'm going to have to resolve, obviously. Again, this is not stuff I want to talk about on the show. It's not stuff I want to talk about ever, actually. I just want
to... Yeah, I just want everything to be...
Get to work. Oh, God, that's going to be bad. Go chat. Perfect.
Was that you?
Yeah. Well, you should change the name of that room, though, to Best in Show Radio Chat, so people know how to get to it.
I don't know how to do that. You know what? You do that, and you invite me, and I'll kick off the show.
Okay, so start talking to people.
Okay. So, welcome, everybody, to Best in Show. Chris?
I thought I could take that minute to eat beef jerky.
You really did just shove food in your mouth before I was even finished saying I'll start the show. You grabbed it as an opportunity to start eating.
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
So have you been following Sundance?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Okay.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Sundance Film Festival.
Yeah, but I have no idea the specifics about. I know the Tribeca Film Festival, and I know Cannes.
There are no buyers for what's being called the Dakota Fanning rape movie.
Exactly.
Obviously, but... There's a movie called Hound Dog where 12-year-old actress Dakota Fanning is raped in, like, a cave or something. And apparently what's, like, a completely meaningless scene to the narrative or to the film, it actually, like, impedes the progress of the movie. But it's just, like, a random rape scene thrown in there, and no studios will purchase this movie.
I've heard a little bit about this. She's like, how old is this girl now? She's got to be, like, 10 or 11,
she's like,
right?
She's, like, 12. Which I was surprised.
Oh, she's old. I didn't realize.
She's retired already.
Yeah. Someone else just joined. User 568 just joined the room. Was that you? 468 or something like that?
User 68 is what it defaults to when somebody comes in.
If
you want to keep that one going, I don't need to be in it.
Yeah, I'm going to do what I said. I'm doing exactly what I said I wasn't going to do. Is that all right with you?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
I had like a nice Sunday morning story and.
Oh, sorry. Well, Sundance, Sundance Film Festival.
Had to get that name in there, right? Yeah. So nobody wants to buy the Dakota Fanning rape movie called Hound Dog. I'm not sure who the director is. I'm going into this kind of unprepared, but I just did read a story about that the other day, and I don't know. I don't think it's because of that, though. I honestly think it's just that the movie's probably really bad. Although any movie I would think that makes it to Sundance with somebody as big a star as that in it, because not for nothing, I mean, she's a little girl, but she's a big star, would, I think, get bought. So the movie's either really bad... All right, let me narrate. Chris is shaking his head no.
Here's the thing. I'm sorry, I love turkey jerky.
You're not eating turkey, and don't call me that.
I don't think there would be an issue with getting a buyer from. I can't believe that it's that bad. I refuse to. I really do believe that it's because people are freaked out by, because there's a big uproar about this. I really don't pay attention to much of what's going on in entertainment or anything.
Plus,
like
she
that.
Looks like she's like eight. That girl. I mean, I understand she's very adult-like and how she talks and all that, like the creepy little monster. But she looks, looks really young. So people aren't into it.
Sorry, I'm eating.
I noticed.
All right, I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna stop eating. I'm gonna stop obsessing on the chat room. This is a real bang up start to the show today. I know.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm a real piece of creep. A real piece of creep. You're listening to Best in Show Radio. God only knows why you'd still be listening to it here on TPX Radio. Sundance. So the big buzz of Sundance, you're saying, is this movie. What's the name of the movie?
Hound Dog.
Dakota gets raped by the hound dog. Whoa. Oh, sorry. That's something else from my personal life that I was thinking about.
I think it's.
My buddy Jason from my old band is laughing and laughing right now if he's listening to this.
I think it's called One Night in South Dakota.
Oh, hot. But yes, I don't know. I don't know too much about the movie. I know that I've heard that it's a big deal that she's getting raped or whatever. I think it's kind of messed up, but whatever. She's an actress. I guess she can handle it. It's no more screwed up than the Monica Bellucci movie where she gets raped, but she actually has to have sex, right? Except I guess she's having it with her husband or something.
No, that dude's not her husband. Her husband is the guy that plays her boyfriend in the movie. You're talking about the movie Irreversible.
So she actually... But doesn't she actually have sex in the film with another person?
No, she's just face down while he...
Okay, so that, I don't even know what I'm talking about. You brought up something here. I'm trying to come up with some sort of connection to it, and I just don't even know anything about movies, film, cinema, anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Well, I don't think it's the same thing, though. But don't get me wrong. It's just. See, I think it's just as bad if it happens in real life. But I don't think that.
Hey, you think that rape in a film is just as bad as rape in real life?
No, I'm saying rape at any age level. To me, it's just. I know you feel differently, but to me, it's across the board bad. See, to say that rape of like a 12-year-old is worse. Is giving some level of okayness to the other one.
It doesn't give the level of okayness to it. What it does, though, it acknowledges the fact that children are I believe.
I want to
be honest with you, dude. I believe that the children of the future. Seriously.
I think if there's no good in something, something else can't be worse. But that's not true.
If I punched you in the face, would it be bad?
Yes.
If I slash your throat, would it be bad?
Yes.
Would it be worse to slash your throat than punch you in the face?
Probably. It depends. The way the show's going, I might just opt for the slash.
I know. But like seriously, though, if you think about it, the killing... I mean, there are definitely degrees when it comes to...
I guess.
Okay, put it this way. If you don't want to even get into the age thing. And this is horrible, by the way. Sunday morning rape stories to start Best in Show. A young lady, let's say 33 years old, gets raped. A young lady, 33 years old, gets anally raped. What's worse? Try and tell me that there's nothing worse about either one. You know?
All right, I get what you're saying.
Kid rape is definitely worse than adult rape. Neither one is good, but kid rape, bad. That's my.
But that second kind you named, that's what happens to Monica Bellucci in that movie.
Exactly. I think that's what I'm saying exactly. I didn't see the movie, but maybe that's just as bad as this Dakota Fanning thing. I don't even know. Maybe it's not that graphic. I don't know. I have no idea. I'll be honest with you. I probably am not going to even. Well, I don't think anyone's going to see it if it doesn't find any buyers, right? The whole thing is filmed already?
It'll be spread around the internet.
I can't believe it's not already on YouTube.
Hint, hint, FBI, if you're looking for some IP addresses to check.
Perfect.
Start looking for the Hound Dog downloads.
Perfect. By the way, you're listening to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, exclusively on tpxradio.com. If you want to try and chat with us, go to bestinshowradio.com/chat.html, or go to bestinshowradio.com, click on contact, click on chat, or I am either Best in Show Chris or Best in Show Keith, and we can invite you to the AOL chat room that we have going at the same time. It's things aren't working exactly the way we want to today, chat-wise. There have been some changes, and we don't like them. They stink, and we don't like them, and that's the beginning, end, and middle of that. What else? Anything else interesting at Sundance you want to talk about?
You know what? No, I'm sorry. I'm in a different... I don't want to keep this going, but I'm in a different address of chat room than you. You're not in bestinshowradio.com/portal, are you?
Nope, I'm in bestinshowradio.com/chat.html.
Didn't you send me...
What I sent you was the test version of it.
Hence portal. Okay, here I go.
Look at that, now we're like friends. Everyone's in the same chat room, so maybe the AOL chat will go away, because then you don't have to be a member of AOL to do it. So now I feel like it's a big team effort. We're all together. Actually, you know what? I'm closing out of the AOL chat. This is horrific. I'm totally annoyed with the way the show's going because we're getting obsessed with tech stuff like usual.
I'm sorry.
Where's our producer when we need him?
Jerk. Obviously, it's his fault, so don't worry about it.
So anything else going on over at Sundance that you want to talk about?
You know what? I haven't really paid attention.
By the way, our buddy Vealchop in the chat room was talking about how Irreversible was a hard watch. A hard thing for him to watch. I didn't see it. I didn't see anything about it.
I think I heard so much about it beforehand that...
I was convinced that it's already awful.
See, a lot of people... I think a lot of people were less bothered by the rape scene than they are the movie begins with... Well, I don't want to ruin it for people. Oh, who cares? I'll ruin it. The movie goes backwards.
It's like a Memento type thing?
It goes backwards. It starts... That's pretty much the beginning of the movie for the most part. And then it...
Isn't that what Memento does?
No, Memento, he just keeps forgetting.
You're going to tell me that Memento doesn't start backwards to forwards?
No, Memento goes forwards.
Memento definitely goes backwards to forwards.
Does it go backwards? I don't remember.
It's been a long time since I've seen the movie. Memento definitely...
Okay.
Pimento.
Well, I guess that makes sense. That's why you see, like, why he wrote something on him. Yeah, but anyway, so yeah, it goes backwards and it leads back through them getting ready to go out that night. But the movie begins with Vincent Cassell, who is her husband and plays her boyfriend in the movie, smashing this guy in the face in a gay bar with like a fire hydrant and bludgeoning the dude's face in.
Hot.
Leading to the next scene of showing her being raped, and you realize why he's doing that. But
yes, yeah.
But that was the thing that I think bothered people more. Except for John Waters, he seemed to really like it. That's where I saw it. John Waters on the Here Network. Here on Demand, which is the gay... Here is one of the two gay cable channels.
I only knew about Logo. I had no idea that Here was something.
Here is like a subscription one. But
we're here, we're queer, we will not disappear. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was... They was originally called Shame, but then they realized that wasn't that was a bad idea. So he has this thing where he hosts movies, and Irreversible was one of the movies he hosts. So he's a real creep.
The feel-good movie of the summer.
Yeah. Actually, he's looking to get Hound Dog on there next week.
Terrific. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about Sundance. I don't know anything about it.
I
don't know. Movies. Who knows, man? What else is going on with movies? There was a little chat, a little thing going on the
forum.
Well,
you know what?
Week.
I wanted Vealchop to call this week because he posted his 10 best movies of 2006, and I really wanted to discuss that with him. See, I don't have a 10 best list yet because I realized something. You always say you don't watch movies. I watch a lot more movies than you, but I must watch old movies because I went through lists of 2006 movies. I've barely seen anything.
I got news for you.
Let alone anything that I would even put in a top 10 list. If I've seen 8 movies, obviously they're the 10, they're the 8 best movies I've seen. But some of the movies I saw this year were so bad, like An American Haunting and Pulse. They were so bad that I don't even want to put them in like a top list of anything. Silent Hill, which actually was okay for a while, and then it just got really stupid.
Here's the thing. I don't know what movies happened this year versus happening last year.
Well, that's always tough, too. I don't remember what it was. There was a 2005 movie that I said, assuming it was 2006. Well, that's definitely in it. And then I read it. Apparently, it came out like 2004 or something.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea whatsoever. What exactly is a new movie? What exactly is an old movie? I don't want to say old or new. I just don't know what happened in 2006 specifically. Maybe on the hotline with us right now, our buddy Vealchop will be able to sort this thing
nice.
Out. Hey, Vealchop, you there with us, buddy?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hey, how you doing, pal?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Not bad at all. I mean, we're having some technical issues here that are totally effing up the entire show, but hey, other than that, everything's
technical issue is I didn't see enough movies this year.
But yeah, it was your post on the message board this week that actually inspired the conversation and inspired the the thought that we need to talk about some movies. I think you put on our forum this week, which, by the way, if you haven't checked it out, www.bestinshowradio.com. Click on forum. It's a chat room. It's magical. You can come to it every week, and there's all sorts of fun conversation. Veal Chop fights with everyone. It's terrific.
me versus 15 people. Great.
Hey, I sit back like a spectator, and I just enjoy the show. I don't pile on. I don't get involved in that at all. But you posted this week about your 10 favorite movies of what?
I forget. I thought you were going to say of all time.
No. The 10 favorite movies of 2006.
He's very narrow-minded.
Oh, God. Yeah, your 10 favorite movies of 2006. And that actually got Keith and I thinking, hey, maybe we should talk about some movies that are happening. Hence the where we're at right now.
What I'm actually going to do, if you don't mind, I'm going to read off your list, but I'm going to start from the bottom. And you're going to see how...
Building anticipation.
Well, I don't think he necessarily ranked it in order. Did you rank it in order, or was it just...
Well, yeah, it's in order, but if you go from the bottom of the list, so the number 10 would be Superman.
Okay. Which brings us to number 10.
Which brings us to number 10, Superman.
Superman Returns, which I did not see.
The greatest movie I've ever seen.
You saw it?
Nope.
I was really excited. I thought at least, like, you know, there could be a discussion.
I don't know. It's Superman, right? It's the same thing as Christopher
Reeve. I'm not really a fan of... superhero comics or anything like that, but there was just so much hype behind this movie that, you know, I had to just pay the $8 and go see it. And based on the director, Bryan Singer, who, you know, some people say he kind of messed up the X-Men movies, but this Superman movie I thought was great. It was cast perfectly. I think the guy that they got to play Superman was spot on in both Clark Kent role and Superman role. I mean, he was perfect. And, Kevin Spacey as
Lex Luthor.
Even better, I think.
Terrific. I honestly didn't know even in the least bit too much about it. Like, I saw that there was supposed to be a big hype when it came out, and it got built up for a couple of weeks, and then, like, right before the movie actually premiered, I remembered, like, it lost all the steam possible, and no one went to go see it.
I think it actually lost quite a bit of money, actually.
Yeah, I guess I was part of that collective steam losing, because I was psyched for it at one point. I was like, oh, cool, Superman movie. And, I don't know, it's January of 2007. I still haven't seen it and have no intention of.
And there's some fun trivia about it. Nick Cage was slated to play Superman a few years ago, and he was signed up to play it and everything. And they didn't make the movie, but they still paid him the $20 million that he, you know, dedicated time for to play Superman. So he made $20 million. And didn't act for 1 second of that movie.
That is absolutely insane. I thought that, see, I heard the rumor wrong.
I don't want that job.
I thought that the Nick Cage one was, I thought he signed on to do the script that that Kevin Smith wrote, is the way that I heard the story.
Oh, okay. Well,
he gets paid for everything he doesn't do.
Yeah, probably.
I need to get paid for some of that. You know, I didn't do it either. I didn't do the movie either.
Honestly, yeah.
All right, what's number 9 on the list, Keith?
Mission Impossible 3.
The list, by the way, we're talking movies here. We're talking the top 10 films of 2006, and we are taking the official list as being Veal Chop's assessment. Fantastic. Number 9 on the list?
Mission Impossible 3. MI3.
Didn't see any
of them. I was in the know.
Didn't see any one of them.
I saw the first one. It was good. Really was.
Yeah, Mission Impossible 3, it seems like a franchise that's getting better with every release. The first one was pretty good. The second one, directed by John Woo, was even better, I thought. And this new one, directed by J.J. Abrams, was fantastic. I mean, I couldn't believe... Most movies are based around one or two really big action set pieces. This one had literally one after the other. And it was incredible how they got this whole movie filmed in the time that they did. And then, again, good casting. Philip Seymour Hoffman as a bad guy. I mean, how could you really go wrong with that kind of movie, you know?
Right on. See, when you talk about the whole directing thing, I'm thinking, as you're saying, hey, it's going to get better from each one to each one, I'm thinking, how do you get better than John Woo directing something? But I guess the guy who's got a big part of creating the greatest TV show in the world that's actually coming back in a week and a half. Actually, no, 2.5
exactly.
Weeks, right? Yeah, nice. Good stuff.
So, speaking of that TV show... The next movie on his list, the number 8 movie, that would be... I, you know what? I had no intention of ever seeing this movie. I never saw the original. I knew parts about the original, but it just looked like the dumbest thing on earth to me. Then I actually watched it the other day, as I'll give you a picture, a screenshot that I sent you
okay,
of it.
Okay, sidetrack. Just so we understand the movie that we're talking about here, if you're not following along on the Best in Show message board over at bestinshowradio.com when you click on forum, we're talking about a film that when I was driving home, I was driving actually out to Long Island for a job on Thursday. And I call Keith up, and we're talking on the phone for a couple of minutes. Like, yeah, I'm watching this movie. And he's like, hey, and I got it paused. You got to see this image that I have the screen paused on. And it's actually a scene of – it's this horribly deformed, almost – what the hell was the guy from the Goonies name?
Sloth.
It was kind
very
of,
similar to
it's
him.
It's kind of sloth-faced. It's the movie we're talking about is The Hills Have Eyes. Is
yes.
that it? The Hills Have Eyes that that you had the still from, and he sent it to me. Well, I'm actually going to post it on that forum a little bit later today. It's one of the most ridiculous things in the world.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know nothing about the film. I know nothing about the remake, and I got to be quite honest. I refuse to believe that it's better than any movie ever made ever.
The thing. So you're saying it's the worst movie ever?
Exactly. I refuse to believe it's better than anything. I believe that The Three Musketeers from starring the Estevez brothers is better than this.
It's honestly surprising. It's really, really good.
I believe that K2 is a better film than this.
It's a good movie.
I agree.
I mean, it's a really uncomfortable thriller. I mean, you watch that movie and you really feel, like, threatened the whole time. I mean, you feel for this family. And there's like a really, speaking about the Coen Fanning, there's a really shocking rape scene in this movie. Maybe it's only in the unrated version, I'm not really sure, but I was really surprised that...
Were you shocked by a rape, Keith, when you
saw it on Cinemax or the movie channel, and I gotta tell you, you're talking about the Emila, whatever her name is? Actress.
I think so, yeah.
That scene starts and then it kind of cuts and it's over all of a sudden. So I'm thinking that I didn't see the actual thing.
Oh man, because if you see the unrated version, it goes on for quite a while. It's really disturbing.
See, I'm glad I didn't see that version. No.
If you did it, you would have bounced it from this list immediately. It can't be the best of anything ever. Keep on going. What do you got? What's next on this list?
Jackass 2.
Okay, dude.
Yeah. It was a toss up. I'm sorry, go on.
Dude, you're just insane. I'm going to let you say what you got to say first, because you're totally, totally effing insane. What you
think? It was a toss-up between Jackass 2 and Barat, and I wanted to put Barat on the list, but I just felt that there was too much of them setting up some kind of fake story with Barat. So I enjoy Jackass 2 a lot more. I mean, for my money, it doesn't get any better than people, you know, just trying to hurt themselves, other people's enjoyment. I mean, I think that's
Chucks.
Hilarious.
Whoa! Shock job using the F word.
I forgot we're on terrestrial. Sorry.
Exactly. But mark that. Let's date stamp that at 27:55, so I could remove that later.
It almost makes me glad when someone curses so we can time stamp it on the air.
Awesome. Here's what I got to say about Jackass. As we're talking about not cursing on the air, Jackass. The first Jackass movie was terrific. The second Jackass movie was a less inspired version of the same terrific movie. There is nothing about this movie that I think comes close to what the first movie does. The first movie, you're looking for that big moment. You're looking, I mean, not that you're looking for it. The first movie, you get that big moment. You get the car and the prophylactic shoved up done. And you're waiting for that to happen in two, and it doesn't happen. Yeah, great. Oh, the rocket almost exploded. Ooh, I'm supposed to be scared. Whatever. It didn't. It doesn't make a difference.
Jackass 3, that would have been crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just like, you know, you're waiting for something nuts to happen, like the crazy, crazy thing to happen, and it really never happens. I guess, you know, the fact that someone got scared because they thought they were kidnapped at one point, like, whatever.
Doesn't he get rammed by a bull?
Yeah, whatever. And I saw that on a commercial. You know how different that is than what you see on the movie? Not at all. Watch the commercial. You saw Jackass 2. The only one thing that...
Yeah, but he easily could have got killed.
But could have. Didn't. Whatever. Don't care. Jackass 3. What could have happened? Here's the thing. The one bit that I thought was hilarious, and if you haven't seen Jackass 2 yet, turn the show off for 30 seconds to a minute because I'm going to spoil something here. The greatest gimmick of the entire thing was... what's the fat guy? Preston. They get Preston to dress up like Bam's dad and have him sneak into bed with his mom. That is probably the funniest part of the thing. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not even like there's not even a great, great, great payoff. Like, she freaks out a little bit, but it's just the whole concept behind it is hilarious. And I thought that was really, really brilliant. I don't get me wrong, I wasn't mad. I even think I posted it on our, on the message board over at bestofshowradio.com. Click on forum. It's I'm not mad that I watched the movie. I watched it and it was cool. It was fine, but it was I was expecting so much more, and they let me down. Again, I don't know a lot about the movies that came out in 2006. Again, I probably couldn't think of 10 films that came out in 2006. So
you gotta keep these in your head then, in case someone else asks you.
Right, I will. So by default, I guess it's in my top 10 because it's the only 10 I know about. What's next on the list?
A movie I never saw, but I wanted to, called Crank.
By the way, did you like, by the way, how I totally just downplayed the movie and didn't even give him a chance to rebut there? I just moved on like a jerk.
It's live TV.
It's your radio show, man.
So,
well, we'll give him a chance. You can talk about Crank, because I never saw it. You know, Jason Statham, is that how you say his name?
That's how I say it.
From Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, which is one of my all-time favorite movies. I just love that he became an action star somehow. Like, he's the most unlikely action star to me. But yeah, go ahead. Crank, I didn't see.
Yeah, I mean, building off of his popularity from the two Transporter movies, I don't know if you saw them. The first one was pretty cool. The second one was kind of just outrageous. But Crank is a movie that, I mean, I enjoy movies, especially it's kind of happening more today where movies are kind of in on the joke with you. Like, they know that this is a parody of a lot of action movies. They know that this is ridiculously over the top. And it's just like, you know, come check out the movie and laugh along with us. And I appreciated it just for that aspect alone.
It's funny that he says this because for the record, I finished watching this movie yesterday morning. I watched half of it about 2 weeks ago. No, not the Transporter, the Crank.
You watched it?
I finished watching it yesterday. I watched half of it like 2 weeks ago, and I finally got around to watching the second half of it yesterday. And exactly what Veal Chop says, the feeling that I get from the movie is a last action hero thing. You know, and not that last, you know, the concept. Not that it was, you know, everything about it was the same. But the whole thing of just like, yeah, it's a tongue-in-cheek laugh at the action film genre at the same time as being a pretty good movie. I gotta be honest, I dug the hell out of this movie. I would go so far as to say, because I don't know all the films that came out in 2006, my favorite movie of 2006. Loved it. Great.
Wow.
I'll give you the DVD today. It's actually a really, really great film. And the whole time I'm watching, when he meets his girlfriend finally, when you finally get to see Eve, all I kept thinking to myself is like, who is this actress who looks like Amy Smart? You know, and we go through the whole film, and it's Amy Smart. I had no idea that it was actually her. Because, you know, Amy Smart has always played, outside of Road Trip, she's played more...
So you're not Chris Smart?
Right. I'm Chris Stupid talking about Amy Smart. Because she's always played more, like I said, outside of Road Trip and this, she's played more, I don't want to go so far as to say more cerebral roles, but she hasn't played like the role that she plays in this. When you watch the film,
well, she was a thief, a professional thief on the short-lived series. I don't remember what it was called, but I liked Ray Liotta had a show that came on in September.
Ray. Beck.
Bend it like Ray.
what was it? I think Field Chop had it for us. I guess not. Whoa, did everything just...
Sorry, what?
No. Dude, what was the name of... I thought you called out the name of the Ray...
Smith.
I didn't think it was bad. I liked it.
I didn't see it. I dig Amy Smart. I dig on her a lot. And she plays a stupid part in this movie, don't get me wrong. But she does the character well. It's a really, really good movie. Like I said, and it's nothing but action the whole way. And when I saw on, like... I'm trying to remember. I don't really watch WWE wrestling anymore, so it had to be a commercial that they did during TNA wrestling to promote this movie. When I saw the coming attraction, I was like, stupid. Why would I even want to bother? Then maybe I happened across it on some sort of site or something that maybe, hey, I can get it. So I got it and watched it, and I love it. I honestly think the movie's terrific. I think it's terrific. I'm so... You know, I'm not even going to spoil the film. I'm not going to say anything more because I was just about to ruin the
end.
I was just going to tell the end of the film. I love the film. I love it. I think it's great. I think it's terrific.
That's the way you described what you saw when you saw the coming attractions. That's how I felt about the number 5 movie, which I've still never seen, Hostel.
Yeah, and I know it's a little controversial on this radio show. I remember a few episodes ago, Keith, you were actually saying that if you enjoy this movie, you enjoy watching people getting tortured.
Well, that goes for you too, Beal.
and honestly, I felt the same way going into this movie.
I'm sorry, I really thought you were saying honestly. I do. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
here's my explanation behind Hostel. I went into the movie because a friend of mine here in Chicago is a really big fan of horror movies. He wanted to go see it. I was a little wary about going to see it, and we went anyway. And it's disturbing as hell. Parts of the movie are really hard to watch. And I left the movie I was scared. I couldn't sleep that night. I mean that's how shocking the images were to me.
Is it shocking images or was it shocking storytelling?
Shocking storytelling, because I think ultimately the characters that undergo this torture in the movie, that they're so vulnerable to the person, you know, inflicting this pain on them. And you walk out of that movie realizing, you know, I'm asleep at night. If someone comes into my apartment and puts a knife to my neck, they can do whatever they want. I mean, and that movie kind of puts it in front of your face, how another person, if they want to, if they have the means, what they could do to you. And I think the kid screaming for his life in this guy's face, and the guy showing no remorse, that is the most disturbing aspect of this movie. And for a movie to leave me shook like that, I mean, I have to respect it.
So it's not, if you were going to put it in the, if you were going to rank it, and we're not talking about 2006, it's worlds better than Saw? Because I imagined it was another Saw type thing where it was like, okay, kind of shocking and crazy, but really just gory and stupid. So definitely.
There's a couple gore parts of it, but I think the more, it's not as much as like a figure this out kind of thriller like Saw was. The story isn't as deep. The story is more psychological, and it just kind of messes you. I mean, so many movies these days leave the theater and you're like, well, where are we going to go get Chinese? You know, I mean, you don't really think about it for more than 5 minutes. This movie,
I don't either. I always go to Fortune
Park. Night.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I don't want to believe.
Not what you're looking for.
I don't want to believe that this movie is good, but based on this, I'm going to check it out. I'm going to make the move to check it out. Do you actually have it?
I don't. I've never seen it.
Yeah, I would never.
I know they're making a sequel now with Bijou Phillips and
Hostler
and yes, and Wiener Dog, aka Heather Matarazzo, and some other girl who I don't know.
Interesting.
But apparently the storyline continues right from the end. One thing I say, I don't want to ruin anything for people. I kind of know the whole story of the movie now, but people basically said that one good thing about it is you're not left unsatisfied without ruining too much.
Absolutely.
Okay. So
and to add to it, the director Eli Roth, you know, he's a fan of movies. You know, I mean, if you get the DVD and listen to the commentary, I mean, he was like, I was a horror movie fan 2 years ago online getting an autograph for, you know, some movie star, and now here I am making a movie. I mean, he's a movie lover, and if you get the DVD and listen to the commentaries, he really reveals a lot about the process of making this movie, and I like that kind of stuff.
I mean, that's a pretty cool concept. I just couldn't imagine. I put this, what was the one further up on the list I couldn't imagine? Oh, The Hills Have Eyes. I couldn't imagine that would be something I'd be intrigued in seeing, but I'm going to check it out now. What do you got next? We're down to the final four.
The final four, United 93, another movie I have not yet seen, but I intend to.
By the way, the final four here on Best in Show Radio.com exclusively on TPXRadio.com. We're going through Veal Chop's top 10 films of 2006 because Keith and I are too stupid to actually see 10 films and have them yet.
Actually, this is a good segue, too, because United 93, I assume that was disturbing to watch, too?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the subject matter is a little sensitive. But Paul Greengrass, who directed Bourne Supremacy, I don't know if you guys saw that, if you enjoyed that.
I didn't see it.
That's crazy. My father-in-law yesterday tried to loan me the DVD.
And I see you fought him off with a bat.
And I said, keep it, thanks.
But yeah, United 93, I mean, there's no really big movie stars in it. It's shot in a very documentary style. And, you know, if you know anyone that is trying to get into film and is interested in the process of filmmaking and they want to know what a director does, like, this is a movie that really highlights a director's skill because the entire movie is choices made by him. It's not really an actor carrying the film. It's all the director's choices that really make this movie really good. And one of the most striking things, it's really subtle, but when you watch a movie and it's on a plane, my fiance actually pointed this out. When you watch a movie and they're on a plane, it never looks real. But the, contrast of what happened that morning and what is in the movie is that they're on this plane and the sun is shining and the sunlight is filling up this cabin, and you know the horror that these people are about to experience, and they're just living their day like it's any other day. And a choice like that, just the way that he's designing the set and designing the shots, it just it creates a movie that you definitely want to check this out.
Here's the thing. One, I've got issues. I'm not even going to go into the whole fact of I have issues with any sort of film or filmmaker benefiting from real life actual horror and miserable, disgusting things that happen. I'm not even going to get into that, even though I just did. But I'm going to go to the fact of there can't be a happy ending here because I know how this story ended. And that's the reason why I couldn't watch this. Like I said, even if I didn't know that was the case, the fact that it has something to do with the most disgusting day in the history of the world, I just can't do it. I didn't watch the World Trade Center movie. I'm not going to watch United 93. I can't watch anything of that nature. I actually, for a while, had a problem with our buddy Vito because he did his he has a comic book on Chemsec. Yeah, ChemsecComics.com. He has something called Stuck. And Stuck is loosely based on the concept, but it's different. It's fictitious, and it's loosely based on the concept of a horrible tragedy happening in New York. But I couldn't watch it because of that, and I can't watch it because I know that there can't be a happy ending to this. I know that this ends fiery in a field, and it's someplace in Pennsylvania, and it's awful.
If a dark ending sneaks up on you, there's nothing you can do about it. If you're watching a whole movie and you think there's going to be a happy ending, and then there's not, it's too late because they got you already. So I kind of know what you're saying because you know how this is going to end.
And ironically, I love when the dark ending sneaks up on me.
When it sneaks up on you.
I think that's terrific. The fact that we're talking about a bunch of innocent people dying, and I know that they're going to die, and there's nothing that I could do about it from the beginning to the end. You're saying it's a must-see. I'm not even going to say I take it with a grain of salt. I appreciate your opinion. There's no way in the world I'll ever watch this movie.
I can see. I can definitely see where you're coming from, and on some points I agree with you. The families of the people who perished in that awful accident, awful tragedy, they are 100% behind this movie. I mean, if you watch the DVD, the families were definitely involved in creating the story. The director is very sensitive to the choices he made.
I want to let you know something, though. I want to let you know something. The fact that the family approves doesn't mean anything to me, because you know what? My grandfather died of lung cancer it's just under 10 years ago now, and my grandmother approved of members of the family videotaping his body in his casket because there were certain people who couldn't come see him. So just because members of the family approve means nothing to me. Because you know what? 85% of the world, and I'm being generous, are stupid, stupid people who should not have an opinion at all. And their opinion should not be valued. My grandmother included, unfortunately. Sorry. Because I don't care. Oh, the family thinks it's tasteful. Whatever. That's how I feel about it.
Number three.
Sorry. Hold on. Let me move some of my baggage over to the side so we can continue the show.
I'm really upset that I didn't see this movie. It's The Departed.
Didn't see it either.
I want to see it terribly. I know, this is one of the ones I was telling you in the car that I don't want to do a list of 2006 movies yet, my favorites, because some I know already, even without seeing them, are going to be in there, I assume. And The Departed is one of these movies.
Again, I'm going to be talking a lot of hearsay here. I've heard it's terrific. It's not his best film, but it's probably his best chance at getting an Oscar.
It's asking a lot for it to be his best film.
Right on. What Veal Chop, the person who's actually seen it. why don't you tell us about it?
No, I totally agree with you. It's definitely not his best film, but if you look at the past four or five movies he's made, he's kind of fallen off track to the movies that made him popular, like Raging Bull, Goodfellas, Casino. This is kind of, this movie is his path back to those kind of movies. And I think that's why a lot of people really liked it. The cast was fantastic. The movie was great. My favorite part of the movie is that the title of the movie comes in 25 minutes into the movie. Then the title comes up. I mean,
oh wow! So the opening,
little things like that, little Scorsese tricks like that. I mean, I really appreciate it because it reminds me of movies like Goodfellas.
So the opening, the opening
soundtrack is awesome. You know, almost every Scorsese movie has a really good soundtrack.
So the opening scene is 25 minutes long, essentially.
Yeah, the movie happen, and then boom, the title comes in with, you know, a great song, and, you know, just all the leading characters of the movie were just, it was fantastic. And I, unfortunately, if he does win the Oscar for this movie, it'll be unfortunate, because it's snubbing movies like Raging Bull and Goodfellas. You know, he should have won for those movies.
By the way, I'm going to do a callback to our old show. I'm talking 2 years ago, and this is to the jerk Frankie Bones out there, because I know you're going to listen to the download of the show later. You're a jerk for thinking that Rocky is a better film than Raging Bull. You're a jerk. I actually know someone that insists that Rocky is a better film than Raging Bull. It's like, shut up.
I've never seen Raging Bull.
Are you kidding me? I'll give you the DVD today. Hand it to you today. I'll hand it to you with Crank. You got some good movies to watch this week. Awesome. What do you got next on the list? Because I mean, unfortunately, we can't talk a lot about Departed.
Another movie that I've been avoiding watching. Not avoiding intentionally. I never watch it, and I want to. It's called Brick, and it stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who you may know as the long-haired freaky kid on Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah, who's fantastic in this movie. Directed by Ryan Johnson. He's a young dude. I think he's like 26 or 27 years old. Was a film student in California. Wrote this screenplay. He was a big fan of film noir. And it's like a high school drama movie, but with film noir. The script is written as like a film noir movie, and it's nothing like I've ever seen before. And it's a really fun movie. It's a mystery. All the characters they're kind of playing larger than life, but there's things in the movie to really ground them. Like, well, these are kids. But you know, when you think about it, when you were in high school, I mean, everything seemed like a big deal. So a lot of slack this movie got was like these kids are playing pretend. But when you were in high school, you know, the everyday drama of what was going on with this dude's girlfriend, or well, who was going to have a fight after school, those things were big deals. And I think this movie kind of, you know, shows that in a creative way.
It's crazy. I didn't see this film. I read a little bit about it, but I'm sorry, I have turkey jerky in my mouth again. It's crazy that you bring that up, because I remember specifically sophomore year of high school, if I could just digress for a minute and throw something out there. My ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend was going to beat me up. And to me, that was the most unbelievable thing in the world, that no one in school cared about the fact that I was going to get jumped after school that day. Because to me, it was just like the most huge, unfathomable thing, because I speak English. Me fail English, that's impossible. And it really is a crazy concept of thinking about that in high school you think that everything is the hugest thing in the entire world, and it's just so not. That amuses me. Sorry, I just thought I'd throw a little high school life story in there if I could.
Right. The drama is a little more serious than, you know, typical high school stuff, but I mean it's still a really interesting watch. The kid that was in that movie The Witness with Harrison Ford, I don't really know his name.
Lucas Haas.
Yeah, he plays a really creepy part in this movie, and the dude's really, you know, grown up, and it's a really interesting part. You should really check it out.
Excellent. I'll take a look. I've heard things about it. I'll check it out. And now the drum roll. Now's when we should play.
You know what? I'm a jerk, because I fully intended to have The Court of the Crimson King ready to go when we announced the number one movie.
Do I have it?
It doesn't matter. It's too late. It's the new King Crimson DVD. That's his number one. It's Children of Men.
Okay. I've got to be honest. I watched Children of Men last night.
As did I. Wow. I finished it last night.
I started and finished it last night. Deal Shop, why don't you start before I get to before you guys both want to cut my head off?
So, Children of Men, I mean, not only is it my favorite movie of 2006, but it's definitely in my top 10 movies of all time. The first thing I noticed about it was just the set design and the art direction was just incredible. It was unbelievable. And I don't really know off the top of my head where this movie was shot, but they went to great lengths to really recreate a future that you know, is doomed, in a sense.
Pre-create, actually.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing I thought about. First of all,
visually, if I can just interject, visually, amazing.
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 Absolutely amazing.
I agree. I could not
agree. Even sound-wise, too. I never cared about sound in movies, but even sound-wise, it was like, it wasn't just that, like, I don't know. It was like the usual loud crashes just seemed so much more effective and it.
This would be the this. I guess that would be my vote for the best cinematography vote, because it's visually it's insane. It's now, insane. But you were saying
this was the thing going into this movie. Now, obviously, there's a lot of bad guys in this movie. Going into it, what I had heard is that, you know, the big evil bad guy is you know the Western government's their Homeland Security, which I mean is a major bad guy. But it's not so much only that. It just seems to be more that like. Filthy humans are the bad guys, like, you know, like, it, there's not really any sides, and it's just people are bad, basically, kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And the name of the movie is ironic in that sense, you know, because who is the bad guy? I mean...
Because every group and faction and government and up, you know, different groups, everyone's just shooting at each other, kind of thing, you know, like...
Yeah.
Shooting at each other and plotting and just being miserable.
Yeah, and you know, backstabbing each other and stuff. And see, I actually, this is the thing though. I thought the whole infertility thing was kind of a weak storyline.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you needed something.
But they needed something. But it's so much makes up for it with everything else. I mean, that's actually scary too. You said about recreating the sets when they first go. There's a scene where they first go into the whatever
pro. Pre-creating the set.
Pre-creating the set.
It's 2027 in the film. 2027. We're not there yet.
I mean, the sets and the whole visuals are great anyway, but without giving up too much, because obviously a lot of people haven't seen this yet. When they get on the bus and they go where they're going, when they get into that whole place, it elevates to such another level and becomes so disturbing.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about, like, the Abu Ghraib references and things like that?
Yeah, that whole, like, that's just that entire place and that whole little city that exists and all that.
That refugee city or whatever, yeah. Here's the thing.
But they kept saying Fugees. I didn't see the I didn't see, like, Wyclef. I didn't see any of the Fugees.
I was dying for the Lauryn Hill video to come on.
I think that's on the DVD, actually.
Here's the thing. I think visually, beautiful movie. I think conceptually... Good, maybe even above average. But, wow, you really can't bend over to pick that up, can you?
I love how making a sad face at you is going to mean it's going to jump into my head.
By the way, if you're not in the chat room, you should be there, and you could actually see the visual of Keith bending over, trying to pick something up, and being unable to reach and crying.
This is way more disturbing than anything in that movie. Man tries to bend.
Yeah, it's, I thought the movie was... What was I really
you
loud
just
there?
Spiked there at something fierce.
I wanted everyone to really hear me. I think the movie was really, really good. Visually appealing. Story wise, it lacked somewhat in some of the plausibility factors of it. But it was and I like a lot of but that's I mean you gotta suspend disbelief, you're watching a movie. And there's a lot of crazy symbolism that I really dig, that I really, really dug. The whole boat image just has to me images of the Virgin Mother going to France. That was a whole thing that I had, even though they weren't going to France. But that's where I drew from it, just because of personal things. There's a lot of symbolism in it that I really dug on.
Yeah.
All in all, I didn't particularly love the movie. I thought it was good. I would definitely put Crank above it as more... From beginning to end, satisfying. This movie was too much. There was too much. I don't know. To
I hate that in movies.
I don't know.
You know what? Too. I don't, really being vague in general because I don't want to ruin things. I thought the end was kind of. I didn't think it was a period. I think it was kind of a question mark.
Well, that's for children of men's. The second one when it comes out.
But that one will star like Eric Roberts and be directed by a different guy.
Right on.
I like movies where the main character, he's a reluctant hero. You know, I mean, Die Hard, as we discussed the last time I called it, is one of my favorite movies of all time. And he's a reluctant kind of anti-hero. And Clive Owen, who I hate, I don't like that guy at all. But I loved him in this movie. I mean,
I love a character who doesn't
want to save the world, but that's his destiny in a sense. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing. From a character standpoint, too, as I was saying, you know, I was talking about things visually and story-wise. From a character standpoint, I think he's a terrific character. I think he's very... you know, to be really weird and abstract with the way I'm looking at it. He's very John Bender because he never is the real, real hero that you want him to be. He's never the badass you want him to be. He's the guy who runs away and hides from the bad guys as they get blown up by something else. You know, so
right.
he's never that. A reluctant hero is exactly what he is. It's yeah, terrific. And Michael Caine, I think, played an awesome part in it, too. Character-wise, I thought the movie was really
good.
Yeah,
and that's true because there's also a scene where his character, Clive Owen's character, is like trying to hide from somebody that's looking to shoot him. And there's a scene where he gets, in most movies, it's the scene where he'll jump on the guy's back and start fighting him.
Right.
But instead, he just looks at it like, all right, that guy's facing that way. I'm going to duck out and go the other way, which is what most people would do. So it was more realistic.
And that's what I did. Right. That real character, the real characterization of the character. The not being the badass. Because that I really, really dug on. But like I said,
if you look at the webcam,
you've got two thumbs up. Wait, hold on. The webcam.
Webcam seems to be sticking my finger in my eye.
Hold
that
on,
was hostile.
No, put the thumbs up. I'll do it. There you go. The two thumbs up from Keith. Actually, my head is covering them both. But yeah.
One quick thing. Did you notice in that movie how all the animals were attracted to him?
Yeah. Well, I think it was.
Well, he's a handsome guy. I mean,
I got to be quite honest. I think that was a symbolic Jesus thing. A symbolic. I'm gonna try talking someday and learning how to do it like a human being does. But I think that was a symbolic Jesus thing that all the animals of the land were supposed to be sympathetic and loving towards him. That's what I interpreted that to be. But
is that the history? In the Bible was. Were the animals following Jesus?
The animals and children were always looking to him, while the elders would always question him. Was the way that I always understood it to be. And again, that's based on my Catholic school upbringing, and that's only based on what my religion teachers have taught me. So, I mean, I'm sure if you could interpret the same Bible to say that, you know, Jesus hated the Jews and he was a Nazi. You know, I mean,
I took it as a whole Noah's Ark thing, especially with the way the movie.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? I didn't even think that, especially with the water. Sure. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like the film a lot. I got built up by Keith here that he got me psyched that it was supposed to be so great, even though he hadn't seen it fully yet at that point.
I had watched half of it and I loved it already. So
yeah, don't get me wrong. I was really caught up and I really enjoyed it. I probably won't watch it again. It was good. And maybe I'll watch it one more time just to see if there's any more symbolism because, you know, being a cornball that likes stuff with weird hidden stuff like that, I'll probably look for it and look for symbolism and things and you know, and stuff like that. But I dig it.
Two really important parts to look for in that movie is the car chase scene, which was unbelievable. It was one shot. It was a 10-minute long one shot. And then the final big conflict, not to give anything away, was one of the most unbelievable shots I've ever seen in cinema history, honestly, in my opinion.
And that was also one shot too, right? The end?
I got news.
Yeah, I started to notice that.
I got news for you. A lot of the scenes in this film were one shot. That was the even Clive Owen even says in interviews when he's talking about the whole thing of it being the what the filmmaker was going for, and I can't remember his name. It's something Coucon or something like that.
Yeah.
He was going for a certain continuity and realism in what he shot, so he did a lot of one shot stuff because he didn't want it to be multi angle things, including the controversial, you know, probably most popular thing about the movie, the childbirth scene. That was one long shot from the time that they walk inside, walk into the room, they throw, you know, I can't remember what the character's name is, Martha or something, the Fuji house woman there.
Yeah.
I can't remember what her name is. But that whole thing was one full scene up to the childbirth, which is one of the craziest things I've seen.
Giving away too much now, I think. We're giving away too much.
What'd I say?
You said the end of the movie. No, I'm just kidding. You know, one other thing, too. There's blood on the lens during one scene, which I think is great that they just just forget about the fact that it's not supposed to be a camera. You're supposed to be watching it.
Yeah, they forget or do they do it intentionally?
No, I'm saying they did it intentionally, but they intentionally just forget, throw out the fact that this isn't not supposed to be, because it's not supposed to be a movie, you know?
It would have been better if you saw someone's hand come up with a tissue and wipe it.
And then go, shh, into the camera.
Shh, the movie's on.
Veilchop, before we let you go, do you envision Hound Dog being on your best of 2007 list?
No, probably not. There's a lot of hype behind that movie, and people just seem to be going to see that one scene. I put this in the chat room. Did you hear that guy on, I think it was CNN or MSNBC, some critic said, the rape scene wasn't as good as I imagined it. Like, totally creepy. Oh, my God.
I didn't see enough stretching during it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's horrific. I didn't know anything about that.
That's great.
As I'm totally classless as usual. Awesome. Hey, Vielchop, really, really appreciate you coming and joining the show for us for the first hour of the show. Wow, that was really good stuff. That went really fast. I didn't even realize how long we were on the air with you. But thank you. And again, impromptu, like totally unexpected. I hit him in the chat room. Say, hey, call into the show. We want to talk about your list. And I think that's great. I really appreciate you coming on the air with us today. And hey, good luck next week, buddy.
Thanks a lot, man. And you know, the show was great. You know, I dedicate 2 hours every week to the show, and I look forward to it every week. And you guys are doing a fantastic job.
Well, and we appreciate
thank you, sir.
We appreciate the thoughts, sir, and we appreciate you. I think you're awesome. I think you're one of the coolest kids I've ever met in my life, kid. Because I'm sure you're like 10 years old still. But
Zombie babysits him.
Yeah, no, I mean you're a good buddy, and good luck next week. I'm sorry that Peyton is gonna spit roast you, because he's going to. He's gonna devastate you. I don't know. I can call you after the game next week for a special bonus show. See if I can be as drunk as when I called Monty. Buddy, thank you so much for coming in today, and I appreciate you being part of the show.
Thanks a lot. Take care, guys.
All right, buddy.
Take care.
By the way, Vielchop's website is ericsandell.com. ericsande. I believe it's 2 L's. I'm trying to remember. I have it saved in my favorites list of my computer that I can't touch right now. Sandell, I believe. ericsandell.com. You can see some of the short films that our buddy Vielchop, whose real name is Eric, obviously, has made. There's some good stuff. There's a really, really, really crazy good one that I dig with him and his sister. It's some interesting stuff. Awesome. By the way, you're listening to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, exclusively on tpxradio.com. You can get us on the hotline if you so choose at 877-744-6405. You can get us on the instant messenger at Best in Show Keith or Best in Show Chris. You could join us in the chat room, www.bestinshowradio.com/chat.html. You could also get there by going to bestinshowradio.com and clicking on contact and then chat room. And I think that's it. Sorry, I'm almost
you're verklempt?
I'm almost throwing up on myself today. Oh, hiccups right now.
That's grosser than verklempt.
and that's that. Yeah, that was unexpected. Dude, the fact that he just went and he just went for an hour just totally got me amped. That was really good stuff. That's our buddy. I appreciate it.
What? What'd you say? You appreciate me?
Yeah, I appreciate that you're my buddy.
You appreciate me paying attention when you talk?
Yeah. Instead of you know what else I appreciate? Actually, for Vielchop, we'll just go right to a totally different angle. Mixed martial arts is fun. Ultimate Fighting Championship, it's fun. This week, January 22nd, Tuesday, I believe that would be. Maybe I'm off of my dates. Tuesday.
It was a Monday.
Whatever day Tuesday was, 23rd. I go to the UFC website, just for no apparent reason, and flip around and look. I'm looking at the advertisements for the new UFC upcoming events. We should have talked to him about this while he was on the air.
And then he stopped talking.
Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry, sorry. I was just looking at people complaining about how they hated the way that the page reloads.
Oh, yeah, that's been going on for a while.
Yeah, I was...
We'll have to figure something out for a better room. It's a
temporary fix.
Exactly.
It's
cardboard and tape, I was going
to
say.
I got to be honest with you. While I had Vielchop on the phone, I had the window closed. I just re-entered the room because it makes a sound every time it reloads, and I didn't want to have people deal with that. And apparently other people don't want to deal with that. Either way, so mixed martial arts, sorry, got sidetracked, UFC. So I go look at the website this week, and they start announcing, they announce the event for March. Well, first of all, February, big event. Anderson Silva is going to be defending his title against the winner of The Ultimate Fighter, and George St. Pierre is going to be defending against the winner of The Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, he's the guy that directed Children of Men.
Right, exactly. Yeah, George St. Pierre is fighting, I can't think of his name. Crap, I'm drawing a blank. He's bald. He's good. He was a real charismatic character, and I can't remember what his name is. whatever the hell it is, I don't know what the story is. They got the whole fight going, whatever, and I'm checking out the things, and I look at what the March event is going to be. Get back to the point of my original story, and I click on it. Because it has a picture of Matt Hughes. It's going to be Matt Hughes' return to the ring since losing the title to George St. Pierre. It has a picture of Rich Franklin, his return to the ring since losing to Anderson Silva. And I don't remember who the other person is that was in the picture. And I click on it, and it comes up. And the main event of the March Ultimate Fighting Championship event, Tim Sylvia defending his heavyweight championship against The Natural, Randy Couture. Randy Couture coming out of retirement after getting the living S beaten out of him by Chuck Liddell twice. I'm blown away. I'm totally blown away by the whole concept. We actually did a whole show.
I'm forced to leave you hanging because I don't know who that is. You know?
We actually had a Captain America. The Natural, Randy Couture. We've actually did a show talking about his retirement. We talked about some of the greatest retirements in the world because he actually retired in the ring.
Oh, okay.
After losing the fight.
Yeah, that was our first show, I think.
It's one of the early
shows.
We
talked about, was it Jerome Bettis that retired on the field?
We talked about Jerome Bettis retiring on the field. We actually brought up
Jim Elway.
That's what I just talked about. Jim Elway, John's cousin, who retired from the from the electrical
from the Missouri
plant.
FD.
You know, it was it's
he retired during a fire.
Obviously,
it kind of left him hanging.
I can't deal with this anymore. Get me out of here. It's too hot. Can't take the heat. Get out of the kitchen. I'm going to the bedroom. But, Randy Couture returning to the ring. Huge, huge thing to me. By the way, I'm neglecting the fact that that Crow Cop and who's my favorite guy? Rampage Jackson. Who's my favorite guy? I don't remember his name. Rampage Jackson are also going to be debuting at the February event. But March, I'm excited. Randy Couture, I'm willing to put it on the line right now, 5-6 days after it was announced. Guarantee he beats Tim Sylvia and wins the heavyweight championship. Guarantee it.
I'll disagree.
Guarantee it. Tim Sylvia is awful. He's boring. He's tired. He's lazy. He's a stupid guy to watch fight. I hate him.
That's what made him the champion.
You know what made him the champion? He's 6'12". And, and he's like 370 billion pounds. And he just stands tall and people just can't get near him.
6'12".
Well, he was almost 6'13".
I love 6'13" even better.
But I'm not a big fan of his. But yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff. Pretty interesting stuff that I'm looking forward to. I love fights.
You know anything about Xenu?
The warrior princess?
No, that's Sheena.
What's Xenu?
I just thought maybe you'd want to play Cruisin' with Xenu.
I don't even know what you're talking about. You mean, do you want to play it?
Do you want to play it?
Do you want to play it?
Sure, I'll play it.
Let's unplay it.
Okay. It's a game. It's not a song.
Oh, do I want to play Xenu?
Do you want to play this new game, Cruisin' with Xenu?
Cruisin' with Xenu.
Xenu is a big Scientology figure.
I have no idea. I'm sorry. That's why I was confused. I thought Xenu was like the new hip artist from Scandinavia. Hey, you want to play some Xenu, bro? You want to go for a drive while we blast
that guy Matthew
Xenu?
Barney is real jealous. He effing hates Xenu.
Yeah, no. So, what's Cruisin' with Xenu? What's the story?
This is the game where which I can't take credit for, obviously.
Not obvious to me, but okay.
This is the game where you get 10 questions, and you have to let me know whether or not the question or the line, most of them are lines, refer to a Tom Cruise movie or Scientology.
You son of an F. I love it. What's the theme song? Does it have a theme song?
It's got some Scientology music.
Oh, awesome. That was my teeth, by the way.
What I'm going to do, by the way, this is real Scientologist music.
By the way, what I'm going to do is try not to smash my teeth into the microphone. And I want to point out the fact that I've had way too much grapefruit juice this morning, and I'm totally confused as the show continues.
Grapefruit juice will do that to you at times.
This is Scientological.
Yes. I'm going to randomize.
Take your receipts, taste pure things. Kill them swiftly if you will. But do it. But do not doubt. You are a killer, Louis.
That's Mr. Tom Cruise in the back lending you those quotes. But anyway, the 10 questions, I'm going to put them in random order because I don't want you to try to detect some kind of a pattern. I'm going to let you pick from 1 to 10.
8.
Question number 8. Is this from a Tom Cruise movie or an L. Ron Hubbard quote? We're playing for blood. The stake is Earth.
We're playing for blood. The stake is Earth. I'm going to say Tom Cruise film.
You would be incorrect.
No!
It's from an L. Ron Hubbard penned policy letter to the organizational leaders.
Awesome.
Give me a number.
Number 6.
Number 6. Millions will follow us into a better world.
Take your receipts.
Is that a line from a Tom Cruise film? Or a Scientological text?
You are a killer, Louis!
It sounds like a Scientological text, so I will say it's a Tom Cruise film.
It is from What is Scientology, penned by L. Ron Hubbard.
God damn it!
Give me a number.
I picked 6 and 8. Let's go with number 3. Lucky number 3.
Okay. It seems, if there were any logic to our language, trust would be a 4-letter word.
Scientological text.
Just take those old records off the shelf. It's from Risky Business.
Number one. I'm going to go 0 for 10. I know it.
This is just a question. Is the E-meter something Tom would use to measure spiritual pain or something he regularly tops on the E-Network's daily news show?
I'll say the news show.
E-meter, short for electropsychometer, a specially designed instrument which helps the auditor and the pre-clear locate areas of spiritual pain.
So is that another wrong answer for me?
That would be incorrect. When you don't answer the right question, then you're wrong.
All right, seriously, this is obviously retarded at this point. Give me number 2. I'm getting the next 6 questions right. We're ending this.
Okay.
I'm going out with one of the greatest batting averages ever.
Is the time track a term used in Scientology or in the movie War of the Worlds?
One more time.
The time track. TimeTrack. Is the time track a term used in Scientology or in the movie War of the Worlds?
Scientology.
It is the consecutive record of mental image pictures which accumulates through a person's life.
Hold on a second, dude. Hold on. Everything just got totally crazy. Someone just called on the hotline. Pause the music. Let's see what's happening here. Hey, you're on Best in Show. Who's this?
I just called like 2 seconds ago, and there was no, I went to the voicemail.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We were in the middle of a bit, buddy.
Oh, is that how it goes now?
Sorry. I guess we should stop the show whenever you call. What do you need? What's up?
I was going to play along with the Tom Cruise thing.
Wow. Wow. We're 4 questions into this thing.
I think we're like 8 questions. Why do you keep saying 6 left? Every time I ask you a question, it's 6
Because I marked
left.
Down that I got 4 wrong questions.
I got news for you. You got numbers. You got 1 wrong, 3 wrong, 8 wrong, 6 wrong, and...
You're just asking number 2 right now.
2. Okay.
All right, put your music back on.
All right, Vito, can you hear the music, Vito?
I can hear... Yes.
Okay.
Is it too loud for you?
No, that's fine.
Just perfect. Let me know if it's too loud. Okay. Time track is a Scientological thing. You're correct on that one.
Oh, so I got one right.
You got one right.
All right.
So Vito's in for the second.
So this is the second half. So in the first round, I lost dramatically. And I'm going to go to the second round. Hold on, let's see. Now we're going to have Vito in for the second round. Let's go. Round 2. Best of 5 series.
Okay, you still got to call out a question number.
Oh, I'm going to call out a question number. Let's see. I picked 1, 2, 3. You know what? Why don't you leave it to Vito? He's come up in here. Let's see what he's got. What question number, Vito?
You are a killer, Louis.
I'm sorry. I got distracted by Tom Cruise. 3?
3 was done already.
Bro, come
on.
Okay,
so what numbers am I looking at?
1, 2, and 3 are out. 6 and 8 are out. You can choose from okay. 4. Go ahead.
Give me 4.
Okay. No dream is ever just a dream. Is this a line from a Tom Cruise film?
I got this right. I got this right here. I got this right here. I don't care what Vito has to say. That's a Tom Cruise quote from the film.
I actually believe that's from Dianetics.
I believe it is from Eyes Wide Shut.
Thank you so very, very much. Come on, baby. So now it's my turn. My turn. What do we got here? Oh, we're up to number 4. Number 5 we never did, right?
Never did number 5.
Number 5. What do you got?
Relax. It's much worse than you think.
Wait, hold on. Rewind. I need to hear I feel the need. I feel the need for speed.
You haven't been hearing this?
But that one line I didn't notice before. I got to get that in there. See, that's a problem, because Goose is also on that track, and Goose is not a...
Take your rest. Pure things. Kill them swiftly if you will. But do it! But do not doubt! You are a killer, Louis!
All right, what's the next question? What's number 5? What are we up to?
Number 5. Relax. It's much worse than you think. Is it a line from a Tom Cruise film? Or a Scientological text?
I'll let the interrupting cow, Vito, come in and make his first guess.
I think it's from a Tom Cruise movie.
That is obviously from a Tom Cruise film.
Do you know which one?
No, you didn't tell me that was the game.
MI1. That's Mission Impossible.
Right on. So I got 3 out of 7 right now. I got 3 more questions. If I get 3 more questions right, I actually have the greatest batting average. I already have a 400. I'm already Ted Williams at this point. Let's go to the... Vito picked the last one. What questions we got left?
We have number 7, number 9, and number 10.
I will take lucky number 9. Whoa,
bro. You're not taking anything.
It's his turn.
No, but it's not.
Oh, okay.
Okay. What's his turn?
Take your rest.
Number 9?
Yes.
In all the broad universe, there is no other hope for man than ourselves.
That's an Alan Hubbard thing.
It's obviously a Tom Cruise film.
It's from L. Ron Hubbard's personal journal, which was released.
I got to be honest with you. I would have guessed that, but I was trying to be that guy who disagreed.
Okay.
What's further down? What do we got?
7 and 10.
Number 10.
I set out to try to help my fellow man and to do what little I could to make the world a better place.
Scientological text.
I set out to try to help my fellow man and to do what little I could to make the world a better place.
That's from a film.
It is from an interview with L. Ron Hubbard.
Oh.
Give it to me, Daddy.
Okay, and this is the last one.
This gives me a 500 batting average if I get this right.
The practice of declaring people fair game will cease. Fair game may not appear on any ethics order.
Stop the music. Wow. Wow. One more time.
The practice of declaring people fair game will cease.
Time out. You got to do it with the same emphatic nature you did the first time.
The practice of declaring people fair game will cease. Fair game may not appear on any ethics order.
I think this is a trick question.
Because it's ridiculous?
Because I think that this is a quote from a film. But I think the film that it's a quote from is a Scientologically based film called Battlefield Earth. And I'm going to say it's a Scientological text.
Which Tom Cruise was not in, by the way.
Exactly.
Oh, I see where you're going.
That's why I think it's a trick question. So the fact that you were surprised by that means that it's not the trick question I thought it was.
Vito?
I'm going to guess it's a movie so I can be that guy.
It is from yet another policy letter written by L. Ron Hubbard. See, what? I was trying to make you assume it was Tom Cruise doing a line. That's why I yelled it out like that. So what did you get in the end?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I got 4 questions correct out of 10. I'm Ted Williams. I did a terrific job. I got out there.
You're right almost half the time.
Exactly. It's pretty impressive. I got to be honest, at the risk of being the jerk right now, which I risk quite often, I got to be honest, I think that some of my answers might have been skewed by our guest coming in here and throwing his answers out there that I just wanted to be opposite of him quite a few times. So I think I probably would have bat like I would have batted about 700, which would have made me Ted Williams times like 1.5, and I would have been a lot better. But that's just
Hank Aaron? Yeah.
Well, no. Hank Aaron probably had a career batting average of like, what, 200, 220? It's just home runs that made any difference. But I got to be honest, I really like what you've done here today.
If anyone hits 400 this year, the majority of the country won't see it because Major League Baseball doesn't care about their awesome. Fans and their customers.
Let's get into that right now. Hey, Vito, you got anything else for us before we move on to Major League Baseball?
No, I'll see you guys next week.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Vito.
The Super Bowl. Dude. All right. I love the hell out of that kid. I really love the hell out of him. What just happened there? I don't even understand. The game was going on. He just said, hey, I want to play. Hey, I want to play.
Well, it's not that. It's that he called in the middle of the game.
I got instant messages from people, just so you know. I went against, you know, I swore on an early show not to do something. And that not was, I swore not to do it. But regardless, I'm getting instant messages saying, hang up on him. Hang up on him before he gives his first answer. What the hell is he doing trying to stick himself into the game?
Oh, by the way, I'd like to thank the Incredible String Band for lending us their songs for this game.
Oh, well, thanks. Thanks, guys.
And, amazingly, they had songs with clips of Tom Cruise movies like 40 years ago.
Weird, spontaneous... Something. Dude, could you tell that I'm just blind at this point? I don't even understand what it's like being human.
Well, here's the thing, as you like to say.
By the way, I thought the name of that game was... That game was going to be Cruisin'. I love the fact that it's Cruisin' with Xena. That's good stuff.
Major League Baseball decided to sell out all of their fans.
Wait, that's right. You were trying to make a point. I sidetracked you for 30 minutes.
By striking a $700 million deal... with those of the inferior technology, DirecTV.
Can I call an official timeout? Could you even fathom what $700 million is? Like, just think about it for a second. Think about how everything you could possibly want in the world. Think about it. It's maybe $3 million. Now think about that times over 200.
Well, think of what Bill Gates has. Doesn't he have $200 billion?
I heard he has 3 computers. That's a lot. I can only afford 2.
You know he's got 2 bathrooms in his house.
Oh, my God. It's unreal. But, all right. So, set for $700
million... $700
million,
they gave exclusivity to the Major League Baseball Extra Innings Package, which I watch obsessively.
Not anymore.
To DirecTV. Now, here's the thing. Me and you got into a bit of an argument about this the other day.
Yeah, we did.
I was angry at DirecTV because I feel like DirecTV kind of... And granted, if I had a business, I might do the same thing. DirecTV kind of forces people into their product by taking things people like. But ultimately, it's up to the NFL and it's up to Major League Baseball to decide, no, we're going to make this available to everybody. The Major League Baseball Extra Innings Package, I believe, of the subscribers of the last 3 years, 55% were cable customers. Something like 35% were Dish Network customers. And DirecTV customers were in the other 10%. So they've basically alienated over 90% of the people that purchased this product from them. If they had given it out to everybody the way they normally do, their profit would have been something like $620 million. So for the extra $80 million, Major League Baseball, as a unit, decided that they were gonna basically cheat a lot of their customers. And you know what? It's not a matter of just switching to DirecTV, because a lot of people can't get DirecTV. You know, if you live in a building, if your landlord says, no, you're not putting that dish on my house, you know, like, so Major League Baseball shockingly doesn't care about their fans. if you can believe it.
Do you live in America, my friend?
I love the idea that they can do this.
Live in America?
Yes, I do.
I asked you an effing question. Answer it directly, badgering the questioning person.
That's a line from A Few Good Men.
Here's the thing. You can't handle the truth. We live in America. It is legal to strike any capitalist deal.
I thought you died just now.
Oh, I thought I did too.
I'm sorry. You just froze in front of the microphone with your mouth open. And I literally thought for a second, wait, did he just die?
Here's the thing, man.
Sorry, go ahead.
We live in America. It is legal to do whatever you'd like, to strike whatever bargain you'd like with any sort of company that you like. And the bargain that has been struck, that has been stricken, striked it, is the finest company of television programming in the world.
Yeah,
DirecTV.
To quote,
has purchased
professional football in America.
They purchased game. Professional football.
To quote Richard Sandomir, the guy that wrote the New York Times article, I believe that's his name, Major League Baseball struck a deal with a company whose technology will be obsolete halfway through the season.
What? I don't agree. They're wrong. What about now?
And here's the pitch. Oh, my God, the wind blew. You'll have to hear it on the radio.
Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to stop obsessing about what theme music to put on for this. Here's the story. Here's the truth behind the matter. I've had DirecTV for about 4 years now. I have lost signal on my DirecTV satellite 3 times in 4 years. Both times were really, really, really bad storms. I have lost signal on my Staten Island cable probably 2 times in a similar time period for outages in the area.
Cable is going to have problems. Satellite's going to have problems. That's a stupid argument to get into which technology is better. The bottom line is, though, you should get your product out to as many people as possible. And the thing behind this
As soon as you get on the board of directors of MLB, you could worry about
I got much bigger problems to fry when I get on their board.
Yeah, once that happens, then you can worry about what money is being made by whom for what.
The first thing I do is put Ed Hearn in the Hall of Fame.
Wait, you don't get to be in the Hall of Fame.
No, I don't want to be in.
You don't get to be in the Baseball Writers Association.
I was so mad at Rob Nya from ESPN the other day because he wrote, before I heard the story, he said, the best part of my job, and then he wrote, well, actually, the second best, the best part of my job is getting paid to sit home and watch the Major League Baseball extra innings package on cable while I write about the sport. So I said, damn, that's the job I want. I want to sit and watch baseball all day and write about it.
But you have,
I think Rob Nye is on the unemployment line now.
But you, yeah, I was just going to say, you guys live in buildings. You're not going to be able to do anything about it. Here's the thing, man. DirecTV is a terrific product. They're a terrific company. They're cheaper than other cable companies. I enjoy. I got the whole DirecTV package because of NFL Sunday Ticket. Even though I was blind drunk for the majority of the season this year and didn't actually watch most of the games.
I was here for every game, and I think we watched 3 games.
Yeah, well, up until we did a show on Sunday mornings, it used to be a really great thing that I would do on Sunday mornings is watch football or Sunday afternoons. Here's the thing. It is their right, whether it's a good or bad business decision, to make their product exclusive to whoever they want.
Oh, I'm not questioning their right.
And I think that it's terrific. I think it's capitalism. I think that it's up to people who live in buildings. It's up to people who rent from people that don't allow satellite dishes on their house to fight it and get it done. Because the fact of the matter is, I searched for an apartment for years before I moved to where I live right now. And there were quite a few apartments that were appealing, attractive, cheap, exactly what I wanted, except the landlord would not let me put a dish on a house. If you're a discerning customer, as I am, you make a point to say, hey, you need to be able to put 4 effing bolts into the top of your roof or into the side of your building, in the brick face of your building, and get this satellite
dish
on
there. Doesn't it have to, like, face a certain way?
Yeah, south. one of the four directions. That's all.
That could be a big deal. That's now saying that 75% of the house or building is unavailable for this dish to go up.
Most buildings I know have roofs.
Or house.
Roofs.
Houses don't have roofs, though.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, just because you own, but a house, a person will own all four sides of the house. You're saying in a building, you might only have one side of the building that doesn't face south. Put it up on the roof and run a cable down. I'm telling you, bro. I'm telling you.
Hopefully, it'll be there in the morning.
You want me to go talk to your super?
Yes.
You want me to get him to approve it?
You know what? I think I could do it. Look, honestly, I work for a cable company, so if I was paying...
Oh, now we finally understand the truth. I think this DirecTV thing is bad. Bad. By the way...
I know they gave me a memo of what I think. Hold on a second. Let me read it.
The new Starz package.
If I didn't get a nice discount on all my services, I probably would have gone to DirecTV to get the Sunday ticket,
probably.
Too. But then again, I may not. Because I see all the football games here.
Well, yeah, but that's every channel. Every channel, not like every channel you can imagine, and then some. I get them all for $200. All of them, every possible thing you can imagine. Multiple BBC channels, multiple Filipino channels, like anything you could imagine, I have it.
Bro, I kind of got news for you.
I watch six of them, but still,
that's kind of expensive.
Everything you can imagine, everything.
I guess DirecTV has the option of getting more channels than most cable companies do, but most cable companies, like, if you spend $150, you'll get every channel they have.
They have. I'm getting every channel that exists.
I don't think every channel that exists is on DirecTV.
I get local sports channels.
You get Indonesian community television?
I definitely 100% do, I think. I'm being honest with you. I have local sports channels around the nation. Being a fan of a football team that is not based out of New York, I watch Fox Sports Florida, and I actually watch the special Dolphins reports that happen all week. I could do the same thing in Oakland, Midwest, you name it, like any place around the country. It's terrific. And granted, I spend a little extra money. I have like the top package, as if I could afford it. I get everything specifically. You know what the cheapest DirecTV package is? It's like $20. And no, it's not channels 2, 4, 5. You know, it's not just your local channels. The cheapest package, you still get like your MTVs and your E Entertainment and stuff. It's the cheapest thing. We're not supposed to be doing commercials, especially not for a company that doesn't need it. Obviously, they could afford to steal the MLB away from everybody else in the world. But DirecTV, greatest product in the entire world. Are you going to try and show me that we're supposed to call John now?
Yes.
Because I got to be honest, he didn't instant message me.
I asked. I tried to set it up with him.
I didn't do it, but I actually had the thing saved, sent to him. This shouldn't be going on the air right now, right?
No.
I'm doing it anyway. Now, to be discreet and private and quiet, we're recommending that a friend of ours call the show, as we could talk about DirecTV and everything else in the world.
So I'm screwed, basically, is what it comes down to.
Dude.
When the Mets aren't playing, I get to see the Yanks.
Go move to Tom's River, New Jersey, and put a dish on top of your house like a gentleman does.
I have news for you. I have every possible intention of moving to Tom's River, New Jersey in the next year. Did I say that to you already? Is that why you said that?
Yes.
Okay. Jerk.
Dude, you've had a lot of announcements this week. You might be moving to Tom's River, New Jersey. Why don't you tell our friends here on Best in Show Radio, www.bestinshowradio.com, exclusively on tbxradio.com. Why don't you let everybody know what exactly your plans are, what your thoughts are, what your dreams are with relation to where you're living, with relation to your, I don't know, other things that you may want to talk about here on the air. And you know what? Explain it slowly, gently, and delicately as I walk briskly to the restroom to eliminate what I've been holding for a half hour. But our buddy John is on the line with you, and he'll be able to talk to you.
I'll save that for later on. John, are you there?
I'm here.
Can you, before you run away, can you make him a little louder? I can't hear him.
Is that loud enough?
I don't know. John, talk.
What's up?
All right, that's better. Thank you.
Terrific.
You may leave. Our buddy John from the New York Press is here.
From TimeMagazine.com.
Okay, I guess. What's up? How are you?
I'm all right. I missed the first 10 minutes of the show. Did Chris address the Bam Bam Bigelow Save Children in a Fire lie that he... powdered on their air last week?
No, He didn't mention it. Why was that not true?
It was a WCW work.
Wow.
Designed to explain time off that he took. He did not really save anyone in the fire. I was giving Chris some business about it last night, asking him, you know, how does Al Qaeda walk around with impunity in the surf when the Undertaker has magic?
Not to mention Sergeant Slaughter. How come he's not getting rid of them one by one?
It's true. I mean.
So let me ask you something. Speaking of Al Qaeda, you interviewed Ralph Nader this week.
Yes, I did. I interviewed him last week. The piece is out this week.
Where can people get that?
You can get it on. Your five borough listeners can pick it up in the green box on the corner, but everybody else can get it at nypress.com. It's the front page piece this week.
Excellent. So who does he hate the most? Does he hate, like, Bush for disagreeing on his policy so much, or do you think he hates Democrats for hating him?
I think he hates everyone.
That was the impression I kind of got.
Yeah, I think he hates everyone. I didn't really ask him about Bush because at this point it's old news.
Right, exactly.
I wanted to talk to him about 2008, and he does not have a high opinion of – I mean, his favorite Democrat is Dennis Kucinich. So, I mean, we're talking about, we're going as fringe as we possibly can as far as presidential candidates go. But no. Hillary,
so he basically likes the guy that's closest to him, really.
Yes, yes. But, I mean, but he hates Hillary, hates John Edwards, more or less. He did not think anything very highly of Barack Obama. And then when you get to the Republican side, I mean, he more or less, he was vicious towards Rudy Giuliani. And if he wanted to pick the guy he actually liked, or at least had a begrudging respect of, it would have to be Mike Bloomberg.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
He liked the idea that Mike Bloomberg wouldn't back down from a fight, and that Mike Bloomberg like had conviction, and he feels that the only way into the to breaking the two-party system would be to for a billionaire like Mike Bloomberg to have to run and do it.
So you can check that out on nypress.com or pick up the New York Press in the aforementioned little green box if you're in one of the five boroughs. So coming forward to this election, now, I think the greatest thing in the world is that Hollywood has been ripped apart because Hillary has basically had the support of almost every member of the Hollywood community. They've been friends with her. They've had fundraisers for her. Going straight, oh, you're shaking your head. No, I forgot. Ted Nugent isn't backing her, and neither is Shannon Doherty. But marching forward, she basically had everybody's support going towards her White House bid of 2008. And then, you know what? To put it bluntly, along came a black man and announced his candidacy, and all of a sudden, people are turning her back on her. I think Edward Norton and Matt Damon, I mentioned this last week, who were big supporters of her in the past, threw a gigantic fundraiser for him as soon as he announced something like that. So, like, what are people in Hollywood to do now?
Well, I actually had this discussion with someone else the other day, another radio show now, but I'm cheating on you guys. Hollywood, these people, you know, they might be famous and they might have a little money in their pocket, but they are more or less idiots, and they can't. I mean, we're talking about people who have like all the policy depth of like a shot glass.
What's up?
These aren't serious political world thinkers or anything. They're borderline idiots who are dazzled by BS, and who see this new guy come along and they want to embrace him. You know, there's only so much money that you can raise. Hillary's not going to have a problem raising money. And if anybody votes for someone because George Clooney or Elizabeth Taylor says you should vote for that person, then they're not. You should be out of the voting pool.
Can I be honest with you, John? Do you honestly think that the average American fits into the category of deep thinker that's really sitting there and really analyzing?
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't. But nobody's on TV talking about, oh my God, wow, Joe down the corner supports Barack Obama.
That's wrong. We're going to have Joe on next week.
he's actually going to be on.
I think Liz Taylor gave $100,000, announced she was giving $100,000, and then all of a sudden, I think they realized that there's a limit, and she
that's
was like,
oh, very illegal, yeah.
I meant $1,200 or something like that.
$2,100. is the maximum. And yeah, that was more or less, she says she was giving $100,000, and somebody realized how illegal that might be.
$2,100 and this brand new car. Just, I mean, for transport purposes. Oh.
I don't know.
I got news for you, dude. Whether Barack doesn't have a chance about this, because you know what? As bad as, by the way, which is the wrong thing to say, but as bad as the majority of middle America would think nominating a woman to actually run for the presidency, you actually think they're going to nominate a colored guy? It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Oh, I don't think he has any chance.
It's not going to happen in a million years.
I love the idea that, like, people who love election time now, who love, you know, making it a point to stick their face into the camera and tell people who they should vote for, and now they're torn apart. You know what the problem is, though? Once the primaries are over, the whole thing will go away because everyone will throw their support to Hillary, or honestly, whichever candidate wins. I'm talking about, the Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they'll throw their support to her, and so it won't be a thing. It's I honestly wish it could go down to the election day. I get a kick out of it. I just get a kick out of the whole
thing.
Don't
worry, you'll get the same kick out of Rudy versus Hillary. You'll get the same...
Yeah, no, because a lot of Hollywood's going to be supporting Rudy.
I'm sure they won't.
That's what I'm saying. I'm being sarcastic.
No, I'm sure they won't. I 100% will be supporting the hell out of Rudy.
Hollywood people?
Are you out of your mind? Dude, that's...
No.
Dude,
you're crazy.
Dude, that's the
Chris,
leader...
You're nuts.
Okay, as nuts as I am, he is... That's the mayor emperor who led a city out of ruin.
It's 2007.
No,
dude, people don't care anymore.
You're out of your mind. You're 100% out of your mind. Rudy will get 100% Hollywood approval. Wait, absolutely.
100% now.
Everyone in Hollywood will vote for Rudy.
I disagree, Chris. Chris, I think that when push comes to shove, provided the candidate is one of the people that Hollywood really jumped behind, like Obama or Clinton, when push comes to shove, you're going to hear from Hollywood, you know, he gets so much credit for what he did in 2001 and September 11th, but any mayor would have done that, and he was a Nazi for the 7.5 years before. There's no way Hollywood is going to support this guy. He's not a Democrat.
He did a 180-degree turn on New York City crime-wise. And people still try to say, well, David Dinkins really started that. Because David Dinkins had the city in such a mess that he had no choice but to just flood the streets with cops in, like, the very end of his term.
Crime couldn't go any higher when David Dinkins it had to go down.
I'm not questioning the drive behind trying to look for a left answer for what happened or what cleaned up New York. I'm just saying that... The mayor king, the mayor emperor, Rudy Giuliani, will absolutely get Hollywood support in this election, and I guarantee it.
I've already heard them say negative things about him.
Yeah.
Richard Belzer was on Howard Stern,
Sorry. Richard Belzer's vote is in, then forget it. I guess that's all bets are off. Forget it.
Richard Belzer was on Howard Stern saying...
To Richard Belzer.
Giuliani, you know, like, he was... Yeah, basically what he just said, like, he was a Nazi during his term...
Wait, do you know what? It was amazing because there were actually books, tons of books that I saw published. They were like these little red books. They were like the Mao Zedong little red books, but with Giuliani's face on it that they put on about how he was ruining New York. I remember that for years. I'm telling you, that one, you know, not to go back to where we were at the beginning of this show, but that one day in September changes the public perception of who that guy is and who that guy was, and the public perception will be a positive one of Rudy Giuliani, the next president of the United States of America. You heard it here first, folks. You heard it here first.
Is that an official prediction?
Unless you heard it someplace else before this.
I think, actually, a lot of people that are... I was thinking this, because my fear was that, like, extreme right-wing, like, factions of people that would normally vote Republican would vote for, like, a Pat Buchanan type, because of Giuliani is pro-gay marriage, pro-choice, pro-gun control.
You mean a person?
But now
a normal person with normal thoughts.
But right. I'm not talking about normal people voting now. But this is the thing: I actually think a lot of people that are Democrats may, because of his stance on those issues, when it comes down to it, vote for him. I'm not talking about Hollywood people now. I'm talking about, like, again, normal people that just are, you know,
Democrats. You're saying normal people, though? Normal people means what we think is the normal way to think. And the norm...
Well, I'm right. That's
and,
what it,
exactly. And the norm goes pretty much against anything that... I don't want to say anything, but probably goes against the majority of what you think. The norm just means what is the most that's out there. And the most that's what's out there is stupidity. Is not.
I think if you polled the entire country on issues like abortion.
If you polled the entire country, the majority of them think that Jesus is a floating little guy that's above the world that saves you when you do things right.
That's Kazoo.
And there's a guy below the ground with a pitchfork and a tail and a little mustache that if you do something bad, you go down into the depths of the earth and somehow you're in some burning place. Yeah, you know? And I think those same people think that it's awful to kill a child as opposed to bring someone into the world that's unwanted. And I think the majority of those people think it's terrific to kill people when they do something wrong. And I gotta be honest, I agree with them. But it's the majority of the world is the norm, the mean, the average is not what I would say is the most right thinking, and in right I mean correct thinking personages
that's very incorrect
dudes out there respectively. Rudy, that's what I'm going to say, Rudy. Did you see when he made that touchdown in that game? He was terrific.
No, he sacked somebody.
Looks like a touchdown almost. And he saved Frodo too. Come on.
I'll give you a prediction. He won't even be the Republican nominee.
Who will be? John McCain?
Yeah.
You're out of your mind. The Republican Party hates John McCain too much.
That's the insiders and party leaders. That's not the voter on the street. And I think that John McCain is going to have a clear path to the goal line this year, because there are things about Rudy that we can't even fathom. He's Catholic, he's Italian, he's been divorced 3 times. His first marriage was to his cousin. Don't you think that you could do a nice whisper campaign in the background, maybe in a southern primary state, to hurt him on that?
You're right. I'm not even voting for him. Yeah, I didn't even think of those things. I was just thinking of his stance on issues, like.
And that's what, unfortunately, stances.
Well, his Catholicism and the being Italian thing, that I could see hurting him, but.
How many Catholic presidents have there been before today?
One.
One.
Thank you. He's going to be number two.
George Washington.
How many Italian presidents have there been?
Zero.
Mario Cuomo ran.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, but you know what? How many female presidents have there been? How many black presidents have there been? We are in an age. Yeah. We are in an age of change, and I'm telling you, my friends. I'm telling you. I'm guaranteeing it. I'm laying it out there. I can't wait to hear he breaks his leg next week. But Rudy Giuliani will be the president, and
I love that breaking his leg in January 2007 prevents him from running for president next year.
What was that?
you didn't get the. I was making a reference to Barbaro. The fact that I said that Barbaro was gonna win the Kentucky Derby and then the next week broke its leg.
Quite a callback.
Yeah, I'm doing callbacks to myself that I think are hilarious and everyone else says what. But yeah, I'm telling you, Rudy Giuliani will be the next president of the United States. I'm calling it. I'm putting it out there. It's official. It's a done deal, basically. Who
will he
beat?
Who's his Democratic opponent?
Oh, it's obvious it's going to be Hillary Clinton.
Who wins New York State?
Hillary Clinton.
Okay.
Hillary Clinton will win New York State.
So Rudy Giuliani will win without winning his home state.
Yeah. Yep. That's what I'm saying.
Mark it down, Keith.
I'm putting it down. Do me a favor. Can I borrow it? Wait, hold on. Can I borrow the piece of paper for a second? I just want to... this is the one you wrote it down on, right? No, I have it. I'm filing it right here, right in the file cabinet. All right. You know what? America.
Win or lose, America.
Seriously, win or lose, we got to defeat these terrorists. We got to do what we can to defeat these terrorists. So that's what I say about the whole thing.
And no one's going to lead us to that other than Mayor Emperor.
We got to defeat these terrorists, bro. Are you supporting the other side? I don't understand what you're trying to say here. By the way, did you touch on the fact that that somebody that we know was on Time.com this week? You guys talk about that this week at all?
No.
A certain guy that's on the phone with us right now? Our buddy,
oh, is that why you said that?
Our buddy John was actually on the Time magazine website this week. His interview with Ralph Nader was actually on Time. Like, Time!
Oh, see, we discussed that at the beginning. I didn't know that, though.
What do you mean?
Excellent. We discussed the interview. I didn't know about Time, though.
Yeah, yeah. Time magazine. Our buddy, our friend, even though he's totally wrong about Rudy Giuliani not winning everything in the world. He was in Time. Whoa, someone else is calling on the other line. Well, you know, they're going to have to wait.
It's probably Vito. He thinks we're playing a game.
But I don't know what that is. Luton Ball?
I want to talk about Ralph Nader.
That's something crazy.
You should probably answer that.
Hold
John,
on,
can you hold on a
hold
second?
Hold on 1 second, John. Hey, you're on Best in Show. Who's this?
This is Migraine Boy.
Whoa. I'm a little confused right now. Migraine Boy, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Migraine Boy objects to this call about Rudy Giuliani being the next president of the United States. That ain't never going to happen.
Well, first of all, the phone call, I'm gonna say in defense of our buddy. Hold on.
Can you get both people
I think
on?
I can actually conference both of you at the same time. I think it might be working. Hey, John, you on the line?
I hear you.
Migraine Boy, you on the line?
I'm on the line.
Wow, we've worked out a conference call for the first time on the
show. Now hang up on them both.
Huzzah.
Honestly, huzzah. First things first. The phone call with our buddy John on the line here, he is not the person who's saying that Rudy Giuliani will be the next president of the United States. That will be me. I will claim full responsibility. It is your friendly television radio host, because I own a television, Chris, that is saying that Rudy Giuliani. So, Migraine Boy, what are you going to say about this? What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are there has never been a guy who's been a mayor, only a mayor, president of the United States.
He's not only a mayor, my friend. He's the emperor mayor. I don't know if you realize that.
Maybe the emperor mayor. Maybe the head Nazi in New York City. But
that's why he's not going to win.
There's no way. Most of it, you look at the last 100 years, how many governors have become president? How many senators have become president? Mostly governors.
Governors, I can think
of.
There's
no way a mayor is going to become a president of the United States. An Italian Catholic mayor is going to win over the Midwest?
No, I'm sorry. A black or a female probably will better.
I think they got a better shot.
You're out of your mind. You're totally. you're a crazed lunatic. Don't get me wrong.
I'm the crazed lunatic. I'm not the one who roots for the Dolphins.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Yeah, this isn't boding well for Rudy. I think you've predicted the Dolphins to win the Super Bowl every year since birth.
Did Staten Island vote to kick you out of the borough because you rooted for the Dolphins?
I said he's going to wind up breaking his leg next week. If my vote means anything, it's a foreboding of something awful. I'm telling you. I'm putting it out there. I'm laying it on the line. I'm letting you guys know. And in a year and a half, you can both apologize. All of you can apologize to me and say, wow, Chris, you knew what you were talking about. You had your finger on the pulse of the political world, and you knew what was going on.
Uh-huh. All right. I'll write this date down. January 28th, 2007.
It's done.
World's worst prediction.
He'll make a race out of it at least. You don't think he'll make a race out of it at the very least?
Yeah, and at the last minute in the primary, he'll lose to McCain.
Doesn't everybody forget that, like, before 9/11, I mean, his popularity was so low, and we were all ready to get rid of him. I mean, he just lost his friggin' mind.
Don't forget that. Don't forget that at all. But I do also remember that we do live in a
no way.
We live in a post 9/11 world. And that day, whether you want to believe it or not, shapes a lot of what people's perception of what that guy is. The majority of the people around this country have no clue about worrying about any of the things that went on in New York City were deemed unfriendly to its residents before that, because the majority of the people in the country don't care. We don't make a difference then. What they know is this guy walking through clouds of smoke towards a building falling down. That's what they know. And that's a hero. Granted, don't get me wrong, a dude locked in a cage in a POW camp is also a hero. And I will not say a bad thing about John McCain. If John McCain winds up getting the Republican nomination, he's going to be who I wind up voting for. I'm not saying that. I just say that that Rudy will wind up getting that nomination before him, because there's a more recent hero factor to him. There's a more
you might be right with the more recent hero factor, but like with everything else, over time people forget, and people are ready. Even with 9/11, people are forgetting.
I still remember
one thing about that, about people, I think, with what people in New York thought of Rudy Giuliani. the stuff that Rudy Giuliani was taking crap for in New York is things that the rest of the country would probably be on his side with. You know, Giuliani was taking heat for the Brooklyn Museum with the Yo Mama's Last Supper, but some Republican primary voter in Arkansas doesn't care what the New York City arts community thought when they made, you know, Rudy Giuliani effigies that mirrored, you know, the look of Hitler. You know, his poll numbers might have been bad in New York City.
Precisely.
On the end, but some of those things are things that people outside of the city would agree with him with.
Precisely.
But there's a lot to Rudy that just doesn't translate well to the rest of the country. I mean, he's
I agree with that.
Troy, and with everything else that he's got in his past, I think it's just all the skeletons come out of the closet. You could forget it.
And I think that's what's going to get him in the end. I think the pro-choice and the pro-gay marriage thing as well. I think that's what's going to hurt him.
And that's actually something that I'm, you know, behind him on. Like, yeah, it's right. You got to, you know, he's a little more open-minded than some of these other lunatic Republicans. But unfortunately, that's going to be his Achilles heel with the Republicans. It's this, you know, what do you want to call it, catch-22. What he's actually good on is not what the Republicans are all about.
If he winds up getting that Republican nomination, regardless, the party will throw their weight behind him. There's no way that the party's thrown their weight behind Obama or Hillary under any circumstances.
The party?
I'm mixing it up.
What's that?
It's a different party.
No, that's what I'm saying. If as long as he gets the Republican nomination, you're going to say that.
I see what you're saying. Republican voters.
The
okay.
Republican voters are going to throw their weight behind him. They're not going to jump to the other side.
That's why I think a third party candidate could hurt him. A right wing candidate could steal precious votes from him.
And who's that third wing candidate? Was he interviewed by John
Pat
this week?
Buchanan.
Oh, Pat Buchanan.
See, I think if they're smart, they won't run Pat Buchanan for the 900th time. Yeah, it's officially the 7th.
Is Pat Buchanan smart enough not to run? That's the problem.
Well, yeah.
The third party candidate is going to be Bloomberg, and he's going to draw evenly across these two in different places. Where I think that Bloomberg would hurt Giuliani in New York, he might hurt Hillary in other places.
But he doesn't.
I think he's going to be the third party candidate.
But he doesn't allow smoking. Doesn't that work against him?
That's hot stuff in some places.
You know, I was against that ban, but I got to admit, though, even though I'm a casual smoker, I kind of like having going to a bar and not smelling like a cigarette.
Yeah, it's terrific.
Philip Morris is not voting for Bloomberg.
a non-smoker that loves to be drunk, I think that's the greatest thing in the world.
Where's my buddy Vanessa?
Your buddy Vanessa, you know, I didn't even bring it up earlier.
Update. Thank you, Migraine Boy.
Well, you have a text?
Update on Vanessa.
I do.
Yes, Vanessa just let us know she's in a restaurant in St. Charles, Missouri. Scared. Send help.
I've been to Missouri. I can understand the scariness there.
Yeah.
Keith, I wanted to touch on that other thing that I mentioned to you when Chris was out of the room.
Oh, yeah. Bam Bam Bigelow.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, let's just get this out here. Let's just lay it out here. I do not believe... Okay, hold on. Let me just do something really quick if I can first. And you guys on the phone, you're not going to be able to hear the sound effect, but let me get it out there anyway.
I offer a complete and utter retraction. The imputation was totally without basis in fact and was in no way fair comment and was motivated purely by malice. And I deeply regret any distress that my comments may have caused you or your family. And I hereby undertake not to repeat any such slander at any time in the future.
Apparently, I need to make a retraction for my statements last week, as I threw out there that Bam Bam Bigelow apparently saved some kids from a burning house. And that was part of the mystique behind who he was. According to a conversation that I've had with our buddy John, who's on the phone with us right now, that was actually part of a gimmick that the WWF put together for him, hence why he wore flamed clothes and had a flame tattoo on his head. I could have swore that what I heard from this story was something that actually happened well after this gimmick was existing in wrestling. And I just want to put it out there that if I am incorrect... I owe an apology for trying to put something out there as being truth that was not quite truth.
Sorry.
And I just want.
Fitz Finley was too crazy for the army; they threw him out.
That's the thing. I'm telling you, I heard this whole story, and I got that thought, and I heard that whole gimmick well after the fact that he was already in wrestling.
WCW work to explain his time off from the company.
I don't believe that's true. Did he save
somebody from drowning?
He's a hero.
No, he saved someone from burning. Stay gold, Bam Bam. Stay gold. start that outro music, my friend. We're super late. It's already 1 o'clock. We got to get out of here. Special thanks to our buddy Migraine Boy for calling in today. Hey, buddy, thanks for calling in. And don't be a stranger. You should actually make a point to get in here often. Special thanks to our buddy John. Special thanks to Veal Chop. Special thanks to Vito. Special thanks to me for being a really terrific host. And Keith, I guess you get some credit, too. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. We'll see you guys next week here on the radio program that we do. I wish I could figure out how to get the conference off on the phone.
You know what? It doesn't matter anymore. It's over.
Bestinshowradio.com.